As we share, we build our faith, others' faith. If you would go to Mark, just turn to Mark 15 or Mark 5. Mark 5. I've got this rubber band on my Bible. What's that all about? I can't remember. Yeah. So I'm going to go to Mark 5, and this is dealing with the possessed man. And I want to get into somewhere around 19, okay? Now, we know that as this happened in the beginning, I guess if we go back, 5:1, let's just look at 5:1, Mark 5:1, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when they had come out of the boat, immediately they met with them a man out of the tomb with an unclean spirit. Now, this guy had this unclean spirit. Everybody around there knew him, and they're like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And then we get into 7, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, what do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. And then Jesus says, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Amen. Come out of that man, unclean spirit. And so it happened. So anyway, we find out, we read the story, goes into the swines, they jump off the cliff. Oh boy. Then they said, okay, they came to Jesus in 15, and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and at the right mind, and they were afraid. Sometimes if you're in the right mind, people might be afraid of you. Go figure that one out. That's a thought there. And those who saw it told them how it had happened. Then they began to plead with him to depart their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said to do what? Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. Go home and tell what the Lord has done for you. July, the last Sunday in July, go to Harvester's Church and tell what the Lord has done for you in your life. Testimony Sunday. Hallelujah. We find out as we get into the area here that in 1 Peter, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you reason for the hope that is in you. Now, we know that the hope is within me. Salvation, what Jesus has done in my life. But I tell you, as we shared in Sunday school, and like Tracy said, the fifth gospel or something like that, our personal testimony is something that person cannot pull out of me and say, you are lying, because I've been there. I know where I've come from, and I know what God has brought me through, and that's my personal testimony as to where God has me today. They can poo-hoo it. They can say it's crazy, but you know what? So be it. This gentleman shared about how Colton, I'm saying his name right, he was being interviewed as a young man. I don't know what age it was. He was being interviewed on a TV show, and the news person, I think it might have been Diane Sawyer, I think, had him here, and on the big screen or on a video feed, they had another person. And, of course, the person on the video screen was discounting anything that Colton had said about going to heaven. And this guy on the screen says, well, there is no such place as heaven, blah, 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 blah. It's all just a made-up story, blah, 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 blah. He's just, just making up a story. And so the commentator or whoever was interviewing looks over at this young man or young boy and says, what do you have to say about that? And this guy said, Colton responded, he can believe however he wants to believe. But I know what I saw. I know what the Lord spoke into my life, and it's not going to change it. Personal testimony. This person of intellect, this person of probably PhD, XXYZ, LLLD, all these diplomas, says, that's just a story. There is no such thing as heaven. So this little young boy, we ought to take heed of that. You don't get into an argument. He says, he can believe whatever he wants to believe. I just know what my life was about and what God did in my life. And leaves it at that. Kind of leaves everybody speechless, like, oh, Because, see, we in a society want to fight back and forth. We want to have throw this out, throw that out. Rah, rah, rah. We want people talking over each other. Oh, 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 oh. And then when that happens, I turn it off. I can't stand it when they do these things. But here's a young boy of many years of wisdom to say he can believe however he wants to believe. I know that I know that I know what happened in my life. Your testimony is what? You know that you know what Jesus did what God is doing in your life. Nobody can discount it. Nobody can take it away from you. So as that is, giving a defense to what that is in you and what God has done for you, to be ready for that. And then as we open it up here, we know that it talks about in Revelation, and they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by what of their testimony. Him is that of the devil, the god of this world. They conquered him not by their blood, not by what they've done. They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. So they conquered, because the old devil's going to come around you and try to tell you you're not saved. The devil's going to tell you the Lord didn't give you that job. The Lord's going to tell you you're not healed. The Lord's going to tell you you're not going to have those finances. But you've got the blood of the Lamb for the sin, and you got your testimony to say, oh yes, he did, devil. Or yes, he has, and I'm claiming it, and I'm holding on to it. So we find that in Revelation as a finality of things, that you've conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony of what Jesus has done in their lives. Powerful tools that we have. Because see, I can take that Bible away from you. I can take different things that you use as things of what God has done in your life. But that doesn't take what's in you out of you and what God has done in you and through you. Hallelujah. So that's the testimony. And I would encourage you right now, if anybody would like to share just a couple of minutes, don't, you know, not a 20-minute or a 25-minute thing of from I was born in 1928 and 1932 this happened and 1955 came along. You know, let's just kind of get it into a couple of minute type thing or a minute or whatever, but just try to see how many people here would like to share things that God has done or doing in their lives. And we got a, oh, it's over here, microphone. I'll bring it over to you. Let's pray before we even do this. Heavenly Father, Lord, this is a very powerful time. Father, this is a time that your people will stand and share what you have done in their life, what you are walking with them through even right now. Father, they're going to be able to share the power, the love, the glory, all that you have done in their lives, Lord. And we do this, and they do this, Lord, to just share with others the glory and to glorify you. And to let people know that if it wasn't for you, oh, our situation would be a lot more desperate, a lot worse off. And so, Father, let these testimonies that come forth today minister into those that hear it. And, Father, even online, as this goes online, Lord, that they would be able to listen to it online, Father, those that might click on it, that it'll be touching a life at that time. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when you get an unction to, just raise your hand, and I'll come over to you. And until that happens, I can keep talking. There you go, brother.
I just want to share that, you know, God has given us a house and given us a good...
Woo! Hallelujah!
And... In Psalms 103.
Here, I can hold that for you while you read it if you want. So they can hear. You can stay seated if you like. I'm just going to hold it for you.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Yes, Lord.
All that is within me.
Yes, Lord.
You know, he's redeeming my life from the pit. You know that? He's redeeming my life from the pit. Satan has tried to put cancer on me, but you know what? God's told us to live, you know, and we're living, and we're living.
Amen.
And I just want to share that you know, my days are in God's hands, and my helper, my wife, you know. You know, we just, you know, God told us to reach out. God told us to live. God told us to stretch. So we stretched and said, God's given us a house, and he's blessed us with good things. And you know what? He's blessing me. He's blessing me with good health.
That's
and
Lord.
I'm going to live. I'm going to live.
Hallelujah.
Okay? I'm going to live.
Amen.
I'm going to live.
Amen. That's good, man. God bless you, Father. We just thank you for this opportunity that you have placed before them for this house. We thank you for everything to go through smoothly and quickly. And that, Father, that you are in the details. Amen. You know, Lord, we always hear, oh, the devil's in the details. No, God, you are in the details. And this will come about. And we do thank you for a long life for Al and for Terry. Mm-hmm. And just bless them when they get ready to move this next few weeks out or next month into this house. We just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That was an area of prayer. Anything, Terry, that you'd like to share? Okay, you're smiling. You're smiling there. That was awesome. That, you know, areas of prayer that we kind of knew that they... God had spoke to them and saying, you got to live. You got to stop sitting in this apartment for the last 2 to 3 years hearing what man says, that there's no hope, or, well, it's just outside our realm of intervention. That's when it puts it into God's intervention and the God's mighty hand. So we just praise God for that. Amen. Tell you what, if you ever want to be encouraged, you call Al and Terry and say, can I stop by for about a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, and just visit with you? And you'll leave encouraged, and they will even pray for you. And, you know, I think the thing that Terry had shared a month or so back when this was all coming into the works was they were looking to say, we want a house so we can have a Bible study or have a prayer time in our house, that we would have the room rather than a small apartment. And they wanted to serve God in that realm. So we may have, it's got the perfect room. It's got a nice room for all that. Yeah, yeah. That's good. And so... you know, I think another month they maybe get into it and all that. We might want to for sure help them move, and there's other helpers that will help them move. But another couple of months into it, you know, they'll have a time of prayer in their house. And I'm sure they'll invite us all to come by. Amen? Amen. So God is working. Anybody else? Just moving up on you, just let you know and just raise your hand. We'll come back there. I'll come to you. One of the things that I heard this past week is I was visiting with someone. And then they were talking about how people have been brought out of situations in their life, and that's a testimony, and how they go back to where they've come out of. If God has ordained that and he's in that and he's wanting you to do that, these individuals have gone back into that style of life, but not to live it the way they used to, but to be able to help those of the same problems come out of it. Amen? You're thinking of things of drug usage, prostitution, things of those natures. You know, there's actually on a particular thing, and as time wraps up here in just a little bit, if we've got time, I'd like to show a clip of a DVD study that we're going to get into the second Sunday in August. It's just like 4 weeks, and it's the End of Me study that they've blessed us with, that Chris and Lisa bought for their Bible time and study time. And then Chris said, well, here, just give it to the church and let Pastor Tim use it and bless the body there. It's a spinoff, or it's a tag team to a fan or a follower that Kyle Eidelman had done many years back. And so this is the End of Me. It's four people giving, I think, a testimony of how God came into their lives and changed it. And I think it's a very, very, I watched the first sessions, very good. But I think that's what's exciting. That's the hand of God, seeing him move in people's lives. And then they go back in and they bring people out. Powerful. That's what it's about. God is moving. God is busy. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Dawn is not here. I don't want to speak for her, but I believe she's got a testimony as far as some of the things that God has done through her knee replacement. And I know it was kind of touch and go for a while, and she had some pain and all that she dealt with for the first few weeks. But I know she was telling me sometime back, she goes, yeah, the physical therapist, I'm out of it, what was it, 5 weeks, 6 weeks out, and she's walking, and she's got pretty good mobility and things. So, you know, God is just making a quick mend to that situation. So, you know, what I praise God about is we do not deny medicine. We don't deny, don't take your pills, be of faith, and, you know, call down. Well, take your pills until you no longer need them. Go to the doctor to help, let him help you, or go to the doctor so God can use that doctor to help you get healed, or whatever the case might be. Go to the hospital, do whatever, you know. Do where your faith is taking you to.
But it's all well and good. But we do know that ultimately the healing comes from God. We do know that people have gone in under surgeries, and we say, well, that's great. We'll just pray for quick healing. Boom, quick healing happens. Sometimes the doctors go, I don't understand why you've healed up so fast, or I don't understand how you got that mobility back so fast. That's unusual. Chances are they're probably telling them, well, we prayed about it. You might have done the surgery, but the Lord completed the work. Amen. So that's good. Good, good, good.
Thank you. Yes. You know, a long time ago, I kept having a going to the Lord about the things. What is this hope? Like Pastor Tim preached on last week, and I kept saying, "What is this, Lord? And what is this?" And the Lord really began to talk to me and tell me it was two things: immutable things, unchangeable things. That was the promise to Abraham of the coming Redeemer, and the promise of Christ, who, after the order of Melchizedek, would be our Redeemer, our hope and our redemption, our hope. And that just kept working on me all week long, this hope, this hope. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, show me, teach me, help me. And he began to share with me this hope that we have as an anchor. This is what you're talking about. He's your anchor. He's the anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast. Immutable, it says in the word. That means unchangeable. He doesn't change his mind. When we go to him, he doesn't change his mind. And so he kept showing me this hope. And it, what kind of hope? This hope that enters into the veil. That within that veil is where Christ entered that. He did that for us. And he entered there on our behalf. Oh, let me tell you, every time I have an issue, it's like, thank you, Lord, that you healed my lungs. Thank you, Lord, that you healed Dan from rheumatic fever. Thank you, Lord, that you gave this young couple over here, beautiful young couple, a home. Thank you, Lord, that you healed Lou. Thank you, Jesus, for Pastor Tim and Linda and all these wonderful people here around us. Thank you, Lord, for they are an answer to my prayer. They are my testimony. Thank you, Lord. And that wherever you are, there is the altar of God. We don't have to stand behind a chair or a pedestal for it to be an altar. We are at the altar of God. We are there. Hallelujah.
Hey, glory. That is. That's good. Good, good. Hello, hello. That is an anchor. There's a song out there, My Anchor Holds, or something like that, isn't that? My anchor. Yes, Lou. There you go, sir.
I don't know how many here shop, but I do the grocery shopping at our house. And if you've ever been in Woodman's on a busy day, people are in a hurry. And they'll run over you if you don't move fast enough. Well, I was there pushing a cart. Coming from the opposite direction was a woman pushing her cart. Both of us were headed for the same cashier. I didn't know who would be first, but I was hoping I would be first. But she stopped, and she said, "You may go ahead." I went up to the cashier. He was counting out mine. I walked back to her. I said, "What made you stop and let me go ahead of you?" She said, "It was Jesus." What a reunion we had in the aisle.
It was Jesus. Isn't that awesome? There's a lot of that out there, guys. You know, you go to these stores in the mall and you see hundreds of people, and sometimes you feel like, I'm the only Christian. I'm probably the only one of faith. I don't know, Lord. All these other people are lost, you know. But there's a lot of Christians out there, and a lot of things God's moving on. I read many times throughout the paper sometimes where somebody sends in a thank you to that nice young man or that young lady or that older couple or whoever the case might be, that, you know, I was out eating and this young couple bought our meal for us, or so-and-so paid for my coffee at Starbucks and I didn't know who. They just said the person before you paid for yours, you know. So God does those wonderful things. And I think it's those times that our Heavenly Father, he just wants to show you he loves you.
He's just wanting to say, you know what, Lou, I'm with you. You know, Lou, no matter what you've come out of or going through even today, and I know you probably didn't want to come here to Woodman's because it's pretty busy. I'd amen that with you. Yeah, but he said, I'm going to let you know, Lou, I was even with you there, you know. So Jesus did that. So he's all over, amen. And that's what's so neat about being a child of the God, of the King, you know, a child of God. Yeah, his kingdom, yeah, it's there, but his kingdom is here too, you know. His kingdom is wherever his children go. He goes with us. And I don't know, maybe some of us have just, we feel like our kingdom is only just like maybe 6 inches around us. We feel pretty timid, pretty limited as far as what God has in us. And I think as we grow and develop in some of these things, I begin to think, I don't know about you, but do you guys believe and start believing your kingdom is bigger than you are? My kingdom sometimes is bigger than where I'm standing right here, you know, but it might go out a little bit more further. I don't know where it goes out, but I just walk and move in those things that, Lord, wherever I go, you go, and where you go, I go, you know, type thing. And that, Lord, it's your kingdom, and if I'm here in Woodman's, you know, I can take dominion over some of these things, you know. I don't know, wherever I'm at, Lord, you make a way where there seems to be no way. I've been down some of those aisles, especially before they widened it. It's like you look down and you're going, oh, we'll never get through there, you know. But I believe and I love and I know that my God cares for the smallest little detail that affects my life. The smallest little burr in my saddle, God says, Tim, I will take care of that for you. I know, as God says, really, Tim, there's major things going on in this world, but I want you to be comforted. I want to take care of you, child, just like my earthly father would have probably done. I want to help you. I want to take care of you. I remember back when my dad was on strike and all these things, and you got like $45 or something like that for 2 weeks or whatever back in those days for strike pay. But I know one time, however it worked out, we went to a store and my dad bought me like 2 things for my bicycle because I was wanting them. I think it was like a banana seat and high-rise handlebars, man, back in them there days. But my daddy, my earthly daddy, even though looking at it, he seemed, I would say, maybe they're limited on money or whatever. Maybe not. I don't know. But even during that time, I sensed that my dad here took care of me. He knew what his son had a desire of. He might have heard me talking about it. He may have heard my plans of saying, yeah, I want to get rid of this regular handlebar, and all these guys are putting these high-rise V-type handlebars on their bikes, and I got this little seat. I want to put a banana seat on that thing, you know. Now I might need like a watermelon seat. No, I don't know, this way. I don't know. That's just, maybe I'm going where I shouldn't go. But, you know, but my dad in earth took care of me that way. My heavenly Father magnifies that a gazillion times of how much he wants to take care of me, how he wants to take care of us, his. And so that's the encouragement that we have today. If nothing else today, be encouraged by that he cares for you. Yes, he cares for you. Yes, Linda.
I had a couple things happen to me during the time that I was going through 40 years worth of pictures in my house. Anybody got that? Yeah. I have boxes and bags, and that's one thing I hate doing, and so you shove them in a corner. But the reason why I want to tell you this story is because he's with you even in the small things, in the tedious things of life. And there was no prayers that came out of this, but I just want to tell you, It impacted me because I know he was in that room with me when I was going through the pictures. I came across in this box, I must have thrown in, Beth Cahill was one of my best friends in grade school, and she passed away at 35. She had blood clotting and it went to her heart. So I came across her obituary. Now I haven't seen any of her family in 25 years. And then I was going through pictures of work, at work, and parties that we had for somebody that was going away. And so I saw all these faces from years ago when I first started there. And, you know, you think you're by yourself, but he's really with you. The next week, I went into Sentry, and I ran into Beth's brother. Yeah, he don't live on my side of town. He lives downtown on Franklin Street, I think. And I haven't seen him since probably her funeral. And I gave him a great big hug. And we sat, he must have kept me in that store an hour. He was lonely. So if nothing else, I met a need for him so he could talk to me. Then that same week, I went out to Walmart and ran into one of the ladies that I worked with at Lab Safety in those pictures. And she had had a stroke since then. And I saw her getting into a van. She must have been with her parents. And I was able to give her a great big hug and tell her how much I missed her. And you got to remember that these things are connected. God is a spiritual being, and he loves you and he cares for you, and every little detail of your life he is part of. And to even to those things, I know he was with me, and I know he was with me in the room sorting the pictures. I still have them in there, by the way. I'm not done. So I just thought maybe that was for somebody. I don't know. Maybe you're going to have an experience like that this week, but it's from God if you have it.
That's good. Kind of reminded you of some things because your path was going to cross, and it's like I could pull that together. Yeah. I think if it's on or not, let's sit on. Click that. Let's slide that little top one. Here.
Hold that
one. Is that on?
I don't know if any of you ever sing in the shower, but, you know, God gives me melodies once in a while, and sometimes they're kind of like from your childhood or something like that. Well, he gave me this one. I kept thinking, Beautiful Dreamer, and you know how that goes. Most of us do. I'm not going to try and sing it. But anyway, give me words to it. Yeah. I kept thinking, and I got out of the shower, and I sat down, and started writing words to it. And it says, Beautiful Savior, Jesus our love, you took our sins to the far above. Jesus, Jesus, anchor of old, far from the depths of the city of gold. Love of our lives, miracle of times, one word spoken heals our lives. Creator, Redeemer, your time is so close. Bless and help us in the river of love. Dearest Jesus, you are from the door, from above. Your love, just sent from above. So, you know, praise God.
Says a lot right there, don't it? Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, as we wrap up, it's time is yours. You know, if anybody else has anything, if not, get ready for a couple of songs here. Just encourage you to just look for what God is doing in your life. And he's done a lot. Well, I know there's a lot that he's done. Just some of the things, listening and talking to different ones in the body. But, you know, it's got to be best out of from that person to share than all the stories that I hear, that I could come up here and just start rattling them off, you know. But, you know, what's exciting is when they share things with me is it is here again, encouraging me. I'm hearing God move. I'm hearing how their faith is being stretched or developed, and I'm hearing that, and it's helping me understand some things. So it's awesome!